You are listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis, the one and only podcast that discusses modern plastic surgery and leaves you looking great and feeling better.
Hope you all are having a wonderful day. I have with me today as my special guest a guy that's really revolutionized, in my way of thinking, the way people can heal. I've known this gentleman for quite some time. One of the really fascinating things is he's created an air about him and about his practice in healing people, not only as a physical therapist, but also healthy ways of eating, healthy ways of thinking, healthy ways of exercising, an entire encapsulation of what he's all about, an anti-aging method that all of us can participate in and to just feel better and healthier for the rest of our lives. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce Dr. Steve Young. Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Great. Excited for sharing this information with your audience.
It's something that I've been really meaning to do for a long time with you. Give us like a little history of how you really got into carving out this niche of everything that you do.
You know, at a young age, I used to like eat a bag of Oreo cookies for my entire days of nutrition and played, you know, just video games all day. And so, you know, in my younger years, I was like a pretty sickly kid. And from having experienced just being ill all the time, at some point around early high school, I started to realize that there was a better way to live. And so even at that age, I started to look at what was the science of being healthy? And at first, for selfish reasons, just for myself and turning my health around. And so fast forward, you know, 27 years later, and reading research, if you read enough research, you can see all the numerous dots start to connect, right? What seems like separate sciences, whether it be from a mechanical perspective, from a physiological or a chemical perspective, from a mindset, emotional perspective, really, if you look at all the dots, they all connect and say one sort of universal approach. And so one of the things we've done in our practice is to distill what seems like a complex thing, like how do you become healthy, into some pretty simple actionables that anyone can act on and experience the benefits of that health. And so that's really what we try to do for all the people that come through our doors and that consume some of our online products, is to make sure that it's able to be implemented, not just more knowledge.
Because that is something that no one really has a need to try to get more knowledge, really, because you could Google almost anything and find some information, but you do need someone who can set it up for you so that you know that you could execute whatever it's going to be. Tell me a little bit about your background from bodybuilding and things like that.
Sure.
Because one of the great things about you is that you really walk the walk, talk the talk, and look that way. So when people are coming in to train or to get healthy, they look at you and go, oh my God, what do you do? And then help me out.
Sure.
So tell me a little bit about,
you know, again, early age, started turning my own health around and started exercising, weightlifting. I started probably when I was around 14 and a half, 15. And so by around 19, I had lifted enough weights where someone suggested, hey, why don't you try bodybuilding, right? And really, I was not, you know, naturally gifted in building muscles fast. So I probably spent another 3 to 4 years, so like 7 years total in terms of training. And that was a period of my life where I call it the structured years. Like I literally used to measure all my foods. I used to bring my own food to restaurants so I can control my calories and my nutrients but still participate socially.
How old were you?
At that time, I was probably 20, 21, around that time.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, there were times where I would be, you know, I was in undergraduate college. In my class, I was mainly planning out my workouts for the next 6 months, right? And so Everything was dedicated towards improving my health and my body. And so those were, which is what I call like the structured years. Now everything's sort of an ebb and flow, less willpower, less dedication, less sacrifice way. And I'm actually able to maintain a better health using this process versus the typical determination, willpower, and sacrifice.
Right.
Yeah. So we can, you know, talk about what that transition and journey is.
One of the topics that I think everyone, no matter what shape you're in, mm-hmm. or line of work you may be interested in, Steve and I have spoken a little bit about this next topic that I really felt would be extremely interesting for us to dive into. And the topic, I guess, as a general heading, Steve, you would call the tool versus the path approach.
Yeah.
And after that little setup for everyone listening, strap yourself in, because this is going to be a really, really, really fascinating way to think about almost anything. So, Steve, let me, without going too much further, let me drop that in your lap.
Got it. Yes. So if you think about it, whenever you're trying to accomplish a goal, in this case, we'll use health-related examples, right? So that's the main topic we're talking about. So let's say you want to get healthy, and let's say part of that involves losing some weight.
Good. Right? Good.
And so as far as weight loss, you go, okay, so I'm going to go on a nutrition plan. And most people would call it a diet, right? And also, I'm also going to start a workout plan.
Right.
And so I'm going to go to the gym and follow some type of workout plan. So those tools that you're using, like the diet is a tool essentially that you're using with the end goal of losing X number of pounds or getting X amount of health. Just like the workout can be a tool to tone certain muscles and to lose certain inches to look a certain way. And what's interesting is, like any tool, let's say a wrench, like when you hold a wrench and you tighten that bolt or loosen that bolt, when you're done, what do you do with the wrench? Like, you don't hold on to it.
Right.
Right? You put it down. And so if you look at the diet and the workout simply as a tool, this is exactly what people do. They will use that tool to get their goal. And once they get close to it or they achieve it, when you talk to a lot of people, they yo-yo diet, right? They go on and off. It's because once they've achieved the goal, their brain is like, all right, I'm done with this tool. Now, logically, they're saying to themselves, I'm going to go on maintenance, right? And so, unfortunately, our brains, if it worked that way, no one would yo-yo diet anymore, right?
Right.
And so I'm a huge fan of picking those actions, for example, like going on a nutrition plan or doing a workout, and changing and switching how you see it from a tool to accomplish a certain goal to a path.
Right.
And so, and a path is different than a tool, right? So a path is something that as you go on, like if you're, you know, walking through the woods as a path, you might have a destination of getting somewhere from point A to B, but the destination isn't just your only focus, right? Because as you walk on a path, let's say you're walking through the woods, you might notice, wow, those amazing flowers, you know, over there, look at their beauty. Oh, look at the bird land on that branch and how they're like flying. And so in a path, what ends up happening is you start to notice these, we call them hidden gems, right? Like these, these unintended realizations and ahas and life lessons. And so if you simply apply that to, let's say, a nutrition plan that you want to do, instead of being solely focused on the plan, the structure of the plan, and being like, I want to lose X number of pounds, if you look at it as a path, what you realize is that, like, that's your, as you're switching what you're eating, if it's a path, you're like, what am I noticing? Wow, my stomach feels differently when I eat this food. And even the way I breathe as I'm eating this meal compared to this other meal that I used to eat is going to be different. Or when I eat the healthy food at night versus my typical comfort foods, my emotions in terms of the response that I'm getting is X, Y, and Z instead of X, Y, and Z. And so you get all these subtle nuances of ahas that could have profound benefits for other areas of your life that you would not have if you were just solely focused on the outcome.
The tool. And I'll tell you, one of the things that captivated me when we started talking about this is every single day in my practice, I am also trying to explain to patients that you don't have to be, your goal doesn't have to be that you're going to be a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. Your goal doesn't have to be that you're going to be some kind of a supermodel. Mm-hmm. But if you're coming to see me for help in some way to try to achieve your goal of looking better, feeling healthier, be it from a liposuction or a tummy tuck or a facelift, we also want to keep in mind that that's probably part of a path, like mm-hmm. you're saying, mm-hmm. or your journey mm-hmm. into looking better, feeling better about yourself. When you're going for that job interview in a month from after having this facelift and you look like a more youthful, energetic person, it probably will also come across in the interview that you have this zest and this new, you know, found zeal mm-hmm. for when you're getting interviewed. And I think having that idea about it's not just the tool that we're interested in, but how can we show you the path of feeling better, healthier? And I think that's why what you're doing and what I'm doing is so symbiotic mm-hmm. in so many ways, is because we do have a bunch of tools. Mm-hmm. You know, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of – we have Cool Sculpting here.
Yep.
That's one of the greatest tools I've ever seen. You mm-hmm. sit in this machine and within 35 minutes we freeze fat off of mm-hmm. you. But if you're going to go home and throw yourself on a couch and start eating bonbons mm-hmm. because you did this, you're probably defeating the overall path or the overall purpose of why you're doing this.
Right.
And having someone like you to point that direction ahead, and to also have them take some time in your healing mm-hmm. and realize, what did you just do? The breathing, the eating, when you're sitting down to eat a healthier meal now, does that make you feel a certain way?
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that there is so much of a component of mindfulness mm-hmm. in almost every one of these things that we're doing.
Yeah, I think when they experience results from any procedure that you offer and they're out there experiencing life, there's so much more to experience. And as they experience some of those differences, for example, like you had mentioned in your example of, you know, having more zest and zeal doing, let's say, an interview, and just kind of reflecting upon, wow, like, what's the emotions from that, and what does looking better mean to them? There are some pretty deep ahas, right, that could be impactful in terms of their relationship with themselves and also their relationships with people close to that person.
Yes,
right.
And that's right.
So there's such a ripple effect of this.
Right. It's like a domino effect of when things start to just add up for you. You start to notice you're more successful in mm-hmm. your business.
Yep.
You're more successful in your marriage or
for sure.
your relationships. It's a beautiful thing when you can start, like you said, connecting the dots and noticing mm-hmm. that so many things do kind of apply. Just like with, you know, science, you start to notice the same thing in setting up your life that way.
Yeah.
Steve, can you give us an example of maybe a particular patient that mm-hmm. you've had or some scenario where you saw this kind of a thing play out? You've given me a couple of insights into mm-hmm. some patients that may have even had multiple sclerosis and things.
Sure.
And you were able to work with them in
yeah.
different ways that, you know, regular medicine, conventional medicine was
yep.
a little off.
Yep. Yeah, so we have a patient, interestingly, so she's had MS for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when she first started, she walked with a cane 90% of the time, right?
Yeah.
And through initial, just very simple nutritional strategies, within about 3 weeks, that was down to 30%.
Wow.
And literally all we did was science-proven protocols to help heal her gut, to stop being inflamed and to stop leaking materials into the rest of her body that promotes systemic inflammation, which is essentially the root cause of all non-infectious diseases. And what's interesting about her is, so there's that already
right.
amazing.
Right.
And then she's a very hard worker, right? In her life, she's always been like, push, 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 let me help everyone else. She's a mom. Like most
yeah.
moms would be like, let me take care of everyone else, make sure they're set first. And so that's how she applied her approach. Like, physical therapy was a tool for her to use to strengthen her body.
Gotcha.
And she kept using this, you know, it's like, imagine like abusing that wrench, right?
Yeah.
She constantly was at home without knowing it, actually overdoing it with the exercises. She was at another therapy place for 3.5 years and basically made almost no progress.
I see.
And so when she came, the first thing I said to her is, how can we slow down? Because I believe in looking at your program and understanding your history, you might be actually just causing more inflammation in your body. And so what's interesting is I have faith in the universe. So recently she actually hurt her back and from overdoing stuff. And then she was basically forced to rest for about a week.
Forced
to rest.
The back off.
And her legs, which she felt like she needed to work harder, all the pain in her legs basically went away. So the universe said, "I forced you to rest." And what she got to experience in this path was, in fact, resting was the biggest healer for her. And that there's always a benefit of both sides, the dichotomy. Sometimes you work through and you push, but sometimes you hold back and you rest. And what's beautiful about that is during this path, she then started to apply the resting benefit to other areas of her life. And so it had this ripple effect on the rest of her life.
That's really amazing. Yeah. And I think, again, for everyone listening, what's really, really key is to understand that, you know, the path versus tool concept that we keep on going back to is something that you can extrapolate into almost anything that you're doing. And I know after Steve and I spoke about this before, I started looking at it that way too for me, just to try to understand, you know, in dealing with patients, how I can better explain to them the path that we're really going down, as opposed to just talking to them about there's a tool that I have that'll fix this. And I think for people that are really listening, there's a world of information out there. Dr. Steve Young, if people out there listening want to get a hold of you and really want to come in and see you or just ask you things, what's the best way for them to contact you?
I think in general, just going to my personal blog post sort of website, which is dr, like drsteveyoung.com. And through that site, there's multiple ways to get a hold of me. And on that site, I have a lot of content information from mechanical perspective, meaning how to work out properly. And there's like, you know, free workouts you can watch videos and do and understand what's a proper workout that actually heals your body versus harming it. There's mindset stuff, there's nutrition stuff. So a lot of information, really what ends up happening is in the clinic when we talk about a hot topic and, you know, the patients are interested in it. I basically then that day I'll go on and type a blog post and make it into some type of content. And so that's probably the best resource, like start there, because you can always get a hold of me through that website.
It's amazing because when I've gone on the website, there are literally, I don't know how many videos.
Yeah, we've shot over 1,000 videos in the last couple of years for sure.
I mean, it's incredible of almost everything that you could think of. You're having knee pain, hip pain, neck pain, back pain. There are things that you could do. And it's really a phenomenal resource for everyone to really be able to go to. Any other plugs about something like that, like what you do at your facility?
We practice physical therapy in health and fitness. So our healing approach with physical therapy is a lot more holistic, right? We will take into account not only the nutritional aspect, but as well as the emotional status of the individual. And then from a fitness perspective, there are so many gyms out there. What we try to do is we have a process called muscle matching, which means we will test your body and unique to your body. We make sure that the movements actually fit your body, right? Because everyone has different builds, different muscle imbalances, different coordination levels. And as a physical therapist and seeing so many people get injured over the years, we basically invented a way to make sure the movements can actually be healthy for you. And recently we actually put together a program based on demand. We call it the Ageless Program, which is a workout program that actually reverses and slows down aging by decreasing inflammation in your body.
I love that. Yeah. That's one of the ones that we really have to, like, at our next podcast one day, we really have to sit down and talk about that and almost team up with you and me trying to really come together with a really great anti-aging regimen.
Yeah.
One of the things that it's come up occasionally is a concept about, are you dating your food? Mm-hmm. What can you tell us a little bit about that? It's kind of an interesting
side note. So essentially, while the masses are consuming materials online on Facebook and blog posts and books about the tactics of food, right, which is what to eat.
Yeah.
Ultimately, to me, that's like saying, you know, if your marriage was in trouble, the tactics are go on more dates, buy a diamond ring, go on more vacations. Ultimately, it's about the relationship with the other human. And so dating your food really is just to bring awareness to what's the emotional relationship you have with the food that you're eating. Because it would be amazing if all of us only ate food based on our body's needs. But really, a lot of us will eat food based on emotional needs.
Uh-huh.
Right? This is why there's a term called comfort foods, right? Yeah. When at night, when you're feeling, and you can just fill in the blank with whatever that feeling is, you will then eat some foods in response to that feeling. So I'm a huge fan of putting in a practice of simply just journaling, like write down what's your emotions before you eat, and then you during your eating, and then what is it after. And a lot of times when we find people who have struggles with their weight, the typical pattern we see is they're feeling some emotion they don't like, right? That ranges anywhere from boredom to depression. And then they eat and they'll feel great, happy, whatever.
And they feel great.
Yep, while they're eating.
While
they're
eating.
Followed by guilt.
Guilt, yes.
And that's the pattern. And so our goal is to make sure that we put that on the table and say, okay, so now how do we revamp that pattern? Because ultimately that's the root thing that is causing a certain behavior with overeating. No matter what tactical thing that you put in place, it is actually not addressing the root thing, which is the relationship with food.
Yeah. And I remember there was a book that I just read maybe a year ago called Habit that talks about that exact same trilogy type of a
the
thing.
The trigger.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, like the triggers for these people could be, or for us, I mean, even we all do it. I know you're a long day. Mm-hmm. You don't feel like, you know, eating something healthy because you just had such a long, stressful day.
Sure.
You go home and eat something or drink something that you know ultimately is going to cause you to feel guilty because you know you shouldn't have been doing it.
Sure.
But that trigger has to be reset, I guess.
Yeah. I think there's a very tactical way, like in that book, Habit by Charles Duhigg, to reset the trigger. I'm a huge fan of like embracing the dichotomy, right? So we have the very tactical stuff where you look at the trigger, then you revamp the routine and you have a new habit. And then there's the deeper emotional work. And I'll give you a great case example. We had a gentleman that was struggling with his weight. And after talking to him, what he revealed was that when he was young, his best memory in terms of bonding with his mom was eating desserts together. And so literally sweets equal love from his mother. And you can imagine how powerful that is. That's such a deep connection, you know, rooted in his psychology that no matter what diet program that he goes on or tries to revamp that habit, that's a pretty tough one. Like love from your mom is a pretty strong pulling, you know, psychologically. So we had to help him, you know, sort of think about, well, were there other ways that your mom and you showed your love towards each other that did not involve desserts?
Right.
And that actually discussion led to the biggest health change for him, and not some type of diet plan and all that stuff.
See, it really does become a mindset where, you know, coming in to visit with you and to set up this kind of a discussion will be a lot more along that path as opposed to just getting the tool to do something. Another thing that I know comes up a lot is the work-life balance.
Yeah.
In your way of discussing this, what do you think?
Sure. In especially American society, in Western society in general, there's a phase in life where, like, for example, when we're young, our brains do not have the infinite wisdom capacity yet. And so everything needs to be clearly defined. Like kids need structure, basically.
Right.
So you want to structure things like this is that and this is this, and you label things. However, as we get older, our brains now have the wisdom to think beyond that. And so what ends up happening is we stick with old operating systems, just outdated. It's like as if there's people walking around using Windows XP trying to install Microsoft Word 2018 on Windows XP.
Right.
And so what I see is as we get older, we don't need to label everything, right? Because if we start to label everything, like there's work time, there's family time, there's life, there's vacation time, there's me time, then there's relaxation time, right? Every one of those things that you get of a label to, because you only have so many hours in a day.
Right.
And the more containers that you make by assigning it a label, that means, you know, just statistically, the percent of time that you can allocate to that label decreases.
That's exactly right.
And so what ends up happening is what one solution is you do. You struggle constantly using effort to balance work and life because you have these two labels. Or you can just take it all off and just call it just life. And so what you do is you can integrate life into your daily practice. And there's a way to structure that, right? And so, for example, I've had times where my daughter was at my office. Granted, she was selling Girl Scout cookies, but in my health office.
Right.
That's the one time allowed for the Girl Scouts. But, you know, we were playing. She was helping the patients get some ice packs. And I was teaching her about health. So, you know, what was that? Was that family time? Was that work time?
Right.
Was that parenting time? Was that fun time? It was everything. It was life. So that's I'm beautiful. A huge fan of just overlapping everything without labeling it.
Right. And I think your workout regimens also kind of go along with that too, where you're really working out multiple things at once.
Yeah.
Because I've been in there and I know exactly what you do. And yeah. It's not just like you're working your triceps, mm-hmm. you're doing other things. And I think when you have that mindset, you're looking at everything
yeah.
like that. And I know patients of mine will, you know, and all of us fall into this category where we want to get on that right path mm-hmm. of health and we want to try to work out as many times of the week as we can, mm-hmm. but work and our life really is the thing that's the obstacle that's not allowing us to participate in those things. Mm-hmm. But if we can start to take a little bit of what you're saying or take the page out of your book where, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you can incorporate that workout in some way so mm-hmm. that you're, you know, spending time with the family and doing something that is physical fitness mm-hmm. so you could lump it in a way together
yeah.
so you're not really missing out on any of those things.
Yeah, so I'll give a case example for a patient. So there was a patient with her hand was very weak and she bought all these tools to strengthen her hand, the putty and the rubber bands
right,
and
right.
all that stuff. And she also was a like super busy person. So I told her, well, how can we brainstorm on strengthening your hand but yet get so much more out of this? And what we came up with,
yeah.
she thumb wrestled her husband.
Oh, that's great.
Right? Like
that's
she's
great.
Strengthening her hand. She's bonding with her husband. And I can say chemically by touching her husband's hand consistently, it releases oxytocin, which actually speeds up healing.
Beautiful.
Right? And so that's a great example
so
of it's like one activity that encompasses many things. And
right.
so, yeah, for people who don't, I'm like the gym owner that says you don't need a gym, right? So if you if you are literally stuck at your desk, well, what you could do is, you know, every hour, just get up from your chair and like do 3 to 5 squats. If you did that every hour, at the end of the year, you'll lose about 8 pounds mathematically from the calories
really?
That you burn without ever going to the gym. Yeah, and so there's many ways, and you know we're, you know, I think you know about this. Like we're developing a workstation where as you're working on your computer, you will basically be working your body a little bit enough to burn enough calories to equal 16 pounds of fat loss a year. So I believe in the future, it's about overlapping activities and things so you don't segment everything.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that concept. It's a fascinating thing. And again, I'm talking to Dr. Steve Young, who is the owner of Body Solutions in Voorhees. You can reach him at Dr. Steve Young on everything. He's a blogger. He has a tremendous number of videos on probably everything that you've ever worried about or thought about. I really want to thank you so much for coming in and spending the time with me. We could talk about a lot of other things. The next one, though, I yeah. really would love to go into
yeah.
is one thing you mentioned, which was the universe. You said
yeah.
you believe in the universe.
Sure.
And I think, to me, that's one of those very spiritual-esque ideas that can be extrapolated into a lot of really good things.
All humans have the ability to receive messages from the universe. It's like we have the internet connection. And there is a process, a systematic process on how to maximize that connection to go from dial-up to like 5G.
Really?
Yeah, and we can talk about that. Yeah.
That sounds like the next big podcast. Thank you so much, Dr. Steve Young, for being here. We really, really enjoyed it so much. I know I did, and I know all my listeners have also. And, you know, we're going to have you back very, very soon so that we can talk about even more things. But one of the things I wanted to make sure that the audience was really understanding was when I'm thinking about plastic surgery for all of you and for anyone that's interested in plastic surgery, I see it as a way of improving one's outlook for their life. And I think Steve was very, very involved in understanding with me how it's not just a tool, plastic surgery, but there's a path that we're trying to develop. Over the years, I've had patients that, you know, have come in with a scar on their face, and they explained to me that this scar has stopped them from dating. This scar on their face has stopped them from being able to land the job they always wanted. And miraculously, once I cut off that scar and fixed it properly so that it looked smooth and beautiful, all of a sudden they were able to land that job. All of a sudden they're dating women that they never thought they were going to be able to date before. And why was that? Was it really the scar? Or was it an emotional and a psychological thing that they thought every time they looked in the mirror, they weren't going to be good enough to get that job? They weren't going to be good enough to be able to go out with this particular female or whatever. And I'm telling you, in everything that I do in plastic surgery, there is so much of an emotional and a psychological component to it that trying to really understand that at all these different levels just makes your results so much better. It makes you feel so much better about what you had done. And I think it's an ongoing thing. It's something that's not just going to be a short-lived excitement, because when we take off the bandages, let's say from your nose job, it's not like, oh my God, it looks so incredible, and then it dies down. It's going to be something that for the rest of your life, you're going to be able to know, I feel better about myself because now when I look in the mirror and I think others look at me, they're going to look at me in a different way. You know, we have so many patients that have written me letters over the years telling me, you know, the breast reduction that I did for them opened up the whole world for them. They were never able to wear very frivolly, girly clothes because their breasts were too large. They weren't able to go out for certain sports teams because they felt so self-conscious about the size of their breasts. And after having this breast reduction and this breast lifting, where the breasts became perkier and more youthful, they were able to buy the clothes they always wanted to wear. They were able to participate in certain athletic activities that they've never been able to really think they could do before. And they can do it with this freedom of knowing that they feel good about doing it. They feel like other people looking at them are looking at them in a different light. And I think just understanding that plastic surgery, especially nowadays, can be something as simple as maybe just making your lips a little bit more enhanced, can make you feel better about yourself. And we can go into a lot of different stories about how all these things have happened, but I think that's the main reason why the podcast that I'm doing is really all about trying to bring out that idea that if you use cosmetic procedures in a way that's going to make you feel better about yourself, you'll be able to do so many more great things with the rest of your life, that I think I'm just fascinated to be able to keep on bringing guests in like Dr. Young. If you have any ideas about this, questions, concerns, or anything, you could always reach me by getting right to our website, or you can go to Davis Cosmetic Plastic Surgery, and we will answer your questions on the air and have a nice little rapport about what all of you out there are really thinking
about. Thank you for listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis. Please subscribe to our show in iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. Keep listening, looking great, and feeling better.